You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. Have you ever felt like the trials you are facing are just too much to bear? This week, Pastor Mark teaches us how to persevere.
We are going to be, we're going to start off in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 12. We have James chapter 1, verse 12.
Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Amen. And tonight, we're going to talk about how to persevere. This word has been on my heart, actually, the last couple of weeks. And, the other week, we talked about making a decision. That we, once we make a decision, then we follow through on that decision. And one of the ways we follow through on our decision is perseverance. And it was neat because I was supposed to be here last week, and things worked out that I wasn't able to be, which I was able to be here this week, which I wasn't supposed to be. And the neat thing is somebody else said they heard the word perseverance preached somewhere. And then I believe this Friday, you think, Kenny, did you touch on perseverance this Friday at Lyft? Yeah. So I like when God's saying something to us. But let's dig into this a little bit. I like that scripture says, blessed is man who perseveres under trial. And I love and I think it's like 1st and 2nd Peter, he lists some things that said that if you're increasing in these things, that you will never fail to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. And one of the things it mentions is perseverance, that if you increase in perseverance, if you're constantly increasing, you'll never fail to be fruitful, and you'll always be useful for the kingdom of God. And so it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Well, that word trial is defined as denotes anything that will test the reality of our faith. So trial is defined by anything that will test the reality of our faith. And so we need those testers in our life. I always say those things, how do I know that I'm saved? The test always reveals who you really are. And when we see the word test, sometimes the test can mean like, okay, well, this is a test to see what you know. But this word test, like the word with Jesus, when it says Jesus was put out and he was put out in the desert to be tested, it meant to like, it wasn't a test for like for him to fail. It was a test to show that he was who he really is. It's almost like when you see a bridge, you test the bridge, believing it's going to work. So you're not testing the bridge like, oh, let me see if this bridge is sturdy. Like, you're testing the bridge so it can then testify that it is sturdy, it is reliable. Same thing with us. We get tested, not always tested to see if you're going to pass or fail. This is a test to show I am who I said I am. And so these are anything that comes to test the reality of our faith. Perseverance is defined as steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, a state, especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. When used in appropriate, when it's talking about theology, it means continuance in a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. I like that definition. Continuance in a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. And now for the definition of grace, you always want to get it from Titus. Chapter 2 says that this grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and live a self-controlled life right now while we wait for the return of Jesus. That is the biblical definition of grace. Grace does not mean God's okay with wrongdoing. Grace does not mean you're a screw up and now you got this get out of hell free card. Grace is the power to get right with God, but it's also the power to stay right with God. And I love, and so when we use perseverance, that's what it says, continuing in a state of grace. Somebody's always watching you. And they're watching you not just when you got your hallelujah They're watching you when devastation hits you. They're watching you when things don't go your way. They're looking for the genuineness of your faith. And everybody can praise the Lord around Christmas time. But in the drier seasons, is it still the same? You know, is it when things aren't going well, when, hey, money's not there, the job's not what I thought it would be, the family's not going the way I'd hoped it is, like things are just going wrong, and I'm not doing anything wrong, but things are going wrong. That's when people are looking, okay, let me see if your God is different than the one I serve, you know? And so I thought that was good. I mean, I played football, but that one, when somebody's showing that level of heart and going the extra mile, extra step, I remember I would never have preached. I would never be here today if somebody didn't push me past where I thought I could go. Years ago, when somebody asked me to lead a Bible study when I first started walking with the Lord, I said, no, get this other guy named Mike. I said, no, get Mike. He can do it. And I said, I'll call him. And he said, no, you can do it. I was like, no. You know, I said, let me get Mike. He can do it. And he just said, you can do it. Keep it focused on Jesus. And that was the first time I ever taught a Bible study. And then I just never stopped. But I would have never gone further if there wasn't anybody saying, you can do it. You know, like you can do the things that God tells us to do. Go and make disciples. And so when we look at this, you know, I just believe we live in a time right now where it's too easy for too many people to quit stuff. Notice that? It's like, you don't like your job, quit. You know, make sure you got another job first. You know, but, you know, parents seem to let kids quit. If things are hard, they quit. You know, kids only have to eat certain foods nowadays. Like, people got more money than we had growing up. But that was not an option. Or it's like, okay, if you're not eating what's on the table, then there's nothing else you're eating. Oh, my kid can only eat mac and cheese. That was not where I lived. Parents quit being parents and settle for being friends. You know, it's almost like I see parents make decisions based on what their kids are okay with. So the kid is actually leading the family. It's like because we quit because it gets hard being a parent, so we settle for being a friend, and sometimes we're not even a good friend at that. You know, when you see the parents out there now, they see the stories, the parents have the party inside, they buy the alcohol for the kids, but you're not even being a good friend. But you're called to be a parent. You know, you don't like your marriage, quit. You ever gone to like Applebee's and you see those couples that's been married, they just sitting across from each other, nobody's talking. They're faithful to be there all the time, but nobody's talking. They probably talk more to the waitress than each other. Well, somebody quit a long time ago. They're going through the motions. So you can even be present and have already quit on your marriage. You know, not pursuing each other anymore. You know, we actually are in a place, gyms are designed for you to quit. Think about that, right? If everybody showed up at the gym who has a membership, there's not enough machines. They're banking on you quitting. Man, the gym I'm a part of, they actually have Tootsie Rolls for you. As you leave, to encourage you. But think about it. They don't want you to keep coming. They don't want everybody to come. They banking on you not coming. That's why they lock you in for a year or two. They know they'll get your money more than they'll see you. Right? Diets are designed for you to quit. They really don't want you to stop. They want you to need them. Credit cards. They know you're not going to keep up with those payments. That's why they offer you 0%, because they like you. They study people, and they know people aren't finishers. And they're going to get you sooner or later. They're actually designed for quitters. And they know our society has become a society of quitters, and it begins to flow right into the church nowadays, right? And when things get hard, people quit. And why is that? And I got something from the section of look at the person next to you and say, you got to know that. Put a little emphasis on that. You got to know that. One thing you got to know that Bigfoot's not real. You got to know that. You got to know that unicorns aren't real. Right? Let me help you with that. You also got to know that 24/7 happy is not real. 24/7 happy is just as real as Bigfoot and unicorns. But there's a lie out there that people chase called 24/7 happy. And if I'm not happy 24/7, then I'm quitting. And I'm chasing the next thing. It's a myth that people chase. And quitting becomes acceptable. Quitting even becomes understandable. Quitting is not Christian. Quitting is not holy whatsoever. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5.
And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
See, the scripture never endorses quitting. It always endorses perseverance. Because perseverance brings out the holiness of God. Perseverance produces character. Character is defined as the referred sum of characteristics possessed by a person, especially when it talks about moral qualities, ethical standards, principles, and the like. I like that scripture says that perseverance leads to proven character. Proven character is this. My trials reveal if my walk matches my talk. That's what trials do. They prove, does my walk match my talk? Does my character match my reputation? Remember in Revelations, it says this one church had a reputation for being alive, but they were very much dead. So does my character match my reputation? Oh, you're Christian. They're Christian. Okay, how are you at home? They called you Christian when you were out at work. But does your character at home match the reputation you have outside the home? When you get squeezed, what comes out of you? When you're under pressure, what comes out of you? And like it says, that character produces hope. Definition of hope, a person or thing in which expectations are centered. The feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. I love that definition. Without hope, there can be no perseverance. Understand that. Without hope, there can be no perseverance. If there's no happy ending, why would you keep doing it? Right? You would not keep working if there was no hope for a paycheck. Right? Maybe we got some super spiritual volunteers, but you wouldn't volunteer for the place you work probably if there was no paycheck. Right? Even when you got to put up with stuff on the job, what gets you through? Hope. Payday's coming. But look at where hope comes from. I love the definition. There's a person or thing in which expectations are centered. So hope has to come from the Creator. Our hope has to come from the Creator. It cannot come from anything He created. Remember that? Think about it. If you ever experienced moments of being hopeless, it's probably because you put your hope in something created instead of the Creator. Because I've never been hopeless when my hope is in Christ. But if you put your hope in the job, the family, the children, the marriage, whatever it is, the car, the house, if you put your hope in those things, you're going to find yourself hopeless. And actually what you'll find yourself doing is creating an idol. Romans 1, verse 25 says this, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. That is the very definition of idolatry. It's putting your hope in the creation instead of the Creator. And it's a very easy thing to fall into. Well, people say, well, I don't do that. Why are you upset most of the time? A lot of times you're upset because you're disappointed with creation. And that means you put a certain level of hope in creation. When's the last time you put your hope in God and you were upset? Because you put your hope in God. But a lot of times you put your hope in the creation. And you can drill it down because it's all creation. It's all creation. And we often put our hope in the creation. Spouses are upset with each other. Why? Because they hoped in the other person instead of in God. Parents upset with their children. Children upset with their parents. Upset with bosses. Listen to the things people complain about. Most of the time, the things people complain about is they're disappointed with the creation. So let's look at some practical ways to persevere. One I got is called trust the coach. Trust the coach. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
That's the coach. Notice that scripture says, because God is faithful. God has your best interest at heart. God is not, when you're following God, he's not going to kill you. This temptation you're going through is not going to take you out. I love one scripture says, you have not been tempted to the point of bloodshed. It's not going to take you out. When I played football, I hate conditioning. I hated it. And we used to do something called 110s, which means you had to sprint 110 yards down, and you had to jog 110 yards back, but you had to be back in a certain amount of seconds. So that jog was not really a jog. And I remember our coach would make us run them, and when he was upset, we had to run like 8 or 10 of them. And I remember one time I'm running and I'm like looking for a place where I can fake a dive. Looking at sprinkler heads. Like, guys who play football know what I'm talking about because you cross your mind like if I just fake a dive here, the coach will have mercy. No one yells at a sprained ankle. And then I'll be running. I keep thinking I can't do one more sprint. But inside I'm like, coach not crazy. He not going to kill me. Now it's my faith that coach is not going to kill me out here. And that would give me the hope to go to the next level. God is for you. God is for you. He says, man, he is faithful. Whatever you're going through. First of all, you're not going through anything. You're not the first person ever to go through this. And guess what? Many people have survived what you're going through. So God is faithful. Trust the coach. Trust the coach. And lean on him and not your own understanding. Remember this, the trial is here. The trial is perfecting me. The trial is perfecting me. Keep that in mind. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10.
After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
So when you're like, what is going on? God is perfecting me. I got to take you through the process. God is perfecting me. The trials come and the trials reveal areas you have grown in. Come on, think about it. You handle some things differently today than you used to. Trials also reveal areas you need to grow in. That's part of the perfecting process, right? Now, revealed areas of growth does not mean failure. Let me say that again. Revealed areas of growth does not mean failure. It just means revealed areas of growth. That's the conviction of God to try to bring you up. But keep this in mind, you got to keep growing. So you got to have revealed areas of growth because once you stop growing, you start dying. Something either is growing or dying. Once you stop growing, once you stop maturing, you start dying. Same thing. As children, once you reach a certain stage, you actually start dying. You're on your way down, right? The hair will reach its fullest, and then it will come less full. All your teeth come in, and then all your teeth start coming out. So one thing I want us to do in order for us to persevere is we have to be people who focus more on resurrection than on death. We have to be people who focus more on resurrection than on death. Often listen to Christians. We often talk about the death of Jesus. We rarely talk about the resurrection of Jesus. The salvation part is the resurrection. It's just as important as the death. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, but that's not the end of the story. He gave him, he died, and he rose. He's not on the cross anymore. And so many times we focus on death more than resurrection. We focus on the bad news and what we see rather than the hope and the good news of what's God going to do. Man, don't focus on what it looks like now. Focus on what it's going to look like when God is done with it. Focus on what you're going to be like when God is done with it. Don't focus on the now. The rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, he was focused on death more than resurrection. God, man, he came and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, this I have done. He said, well, there's something you still lack. If you want to be perfect, go sell everything and follow me. And it says he walked away sad because he was rich. He was more focused on the money. He was so focused on losing the creation that he missed the most awesome part of the invitation, follow me. So you weren't just giving up your money. You were giving up your money to follow Creator. See how crazy that sounds? And he thought, man, that's a tough choice. How many of us in the same boat, we focus on what we're losing rather than what we're gaining? Come on, everyone in here, when you made a decision to follow Christ, you've lost some things. Look at what you've gained. Look at what you've gained. Whenever the enemy tries to come at you, well, God's not going to come through. Look at what you've already gained. Whenever you think about going back, it was better off back in Egypt. Look at what you gained. Remember in Egypt, you were making bricks. You took your straw away. Peter. Remember when Peter, Jesus said he was the Messiah? Peter said he was confessed he was the Christ. And then Jesus says, look, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My father did. He says, now look, I'm about to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to die. And I'm going to resurrect on the third day. And then Peter pulls him aside and says, no, this will not happen to you. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Remember this, whenever God says something and someone else says the opposite, that is satanic speaking. Whenever God says something and you think opposite of what God says, that's satanic thinking. Because look what Peter missed. All he focused on was, you're going to go be tortured and you're going to die. I guarantee most of us read that scripture. We miss it too. And he says, and be raised up on the third day. All Peter heard was death. Now, he surely was not rebuking Jesus for resurrection. And sometimes that's what we do. Listen. When the disciples focused on death, they all ran from Jesus. All of them. When Jesus died, when he was arrested, they all ran. When he died, they were hiding because they were focused on his death. When he was resurrected, they all came to Jesus. And they never ran from him again, even giving up their own lives. We must be people who focus on resurrection. It's the only way to persevere because no one perseveres focusing on death. We got to be people who focus on resurrection. So we got to choose to speak positive, not negative. Right? Got to believe it. Speak things that's not as if they are. I don't care if anybody else is talking negative, you talk positive. Remember, Philippians says, believe on these things. Whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever, believe on these things. You got to believe it's going to end well. No matter what's going on in my life, I have to believe it's going to end well. Why? Because God said all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. I have to believe that. And I got to push through. I just think we have to become people who choose to focus on it's going to end well in every area of my life. Let me explain something to you. Jesus is in the inconvenience. Jesus is in the inconveniences of life. He is not in the convenient. He's in the inconvenience. And a lot of times we look for the convenient. No, Jesus is in the inconvenience. That's why he's often asking people to inconvenience themselves, because that's where you find him. He is in the inconvenience. And so, man, when your time gets inconvenienced, when situations inconvenience you, Jesus is right there. Every trial, whether it be an attitude situation, it's an opportunity to persevere. Whether it be a family crisis, it's an opportunity to persevere. Whether it be a financial crisis, it's an opportunity. Man, we have so many opportunities. When it's time to do the word of God, perseverance, perseverance. I like on this video, it hurts. So what? That's my new prophetic word for you. So what? We got to stop being so soft. So what? The cross hurts. When he says, pick up your cross and follow me, he was not inviting anyone to a painless activity. So what? It hurts. I don't want to. So what? I don't feel like it. So what? See, the problem in our generation is we live in a generation of people who, the keep it real generation, and we feel like whenever we persevere, whether it be through our attitudes, personalities, even what somebody hits you with, we say, I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be fake. Let me help you. It's not fake. It's faith. See, fake is determined by motive. What is your motive? I don't want to go say hi to that person. If I'm fake, if I go and say hi to him, no, what's your motive? My motive is I love Jesus. And so I'm doing it for him. See, if your motive is you're doing it for him, it don't matter if it feels fake. It's not fake. Because the only reason you're doing it is you're doing it for him. So stop saying, I don't want to feel fake. He's not asking you to feel. He's asking you to obey. He's asking you to persevere. Stop making excuses and do it. See, we have this thing where we can just persevere through so much, but I'm watching so many of us take losses and shrink back, and we just cry and whine and complain. And in Hebrews, he says, my righteous ones will live by faith. And if they shrink back, I will not be pleased with them. But I love what he says in 39, Hebrews 10, verse 39 says, but we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith for the persevering of the soul. Go back to the end of that scripture we read in the beginning. He says that once you've overcome, the blessed are those who persevere, for once he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which God has promised him. If you persevere, there is a reward. If you persevere, you'll be better off than if you quit. There's not one scripture in there that shows, man, go to that Hebrews Hall of Fame, they call it. Man, by faith, he quit and was blessed. Such and such quit and their life was blessed. No, this Bible is full of people who persevere. And they all got rewards for it. Hey. You're no quitter. By faith, just say, I'm no quitter. Say again, I'm no quitter. See, the opposite of a quitter is an overcomer. That's who you are. Revelation says, he who overcomes, I got something for him. He who overcomes. That means he don't go through nothing. You're going to go through stuff. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. As long as there are creations around, you're going to have trouble with them. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm not a quitter. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the holiness of God. I can do all things through Christ. See, we got to begin to fill ourselves with words of truth. Stop avoiding the hard. And don't ask God to take you out of the hard. God, take me through it. Take me through it. Because I'll be stronger when it's all said and done. You're not quitters, you're overcomers. You're battle tested. You're finishers. And all you got to do, as long as you hold on to Jesus, I don't know who this is for, as long as you hold on to Jesus, it's going to be all right.
To stay connected with our church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle at TryOurChurch. Or you can send us an email to info@tryourchurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.